Hello, this is Andy for Burp to Get for Breakfast, and I am here with most of other people's lives. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, reasonable.
Good. Relatively good.
Yeah.
Considering.
Some news in the night. But yeah, for those who don't know about you guys, what can you tell us about yourselves?
Well, we're a bunch of people based in Leeds. We've got Sam Mustachio Ward. He's from Preston.
P-town.
Preston, and then
from
you've got
P-town.
The voice that you're hearing now is also from Carlisle. That's Bryce. Bryce Gibson. James Aconley from Leeds formed the band with me, Matthew, and this is Chris, sat just adjacent to me. He plays bass. We met him in the studio when we were tracking our EP, and he learnt the songs and then completed the EP with us. So.
Cool. The actual formation, besides you meeting Chris, what can you tell us about it?
Essentially, it's a very long-winded story, but I'll try and write you a very abridged version. I was in a band previous with James, who plays guitar. He wasn't particularly into it, but he's my best friend, so he wasn't going to say, this is shit. You know, he just kind of went along with it. It fell apart. And I'd already started writing considerably different things with a view to doing them as part of my degree in pop music, which is a stupid degree to get. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. But, I wrote an album and for that, and James overheard most of it and went, well, why the fuck haven't we been playing that? Let's make a band. And I laughed and said, ah, that's silly, and then changed my mind. We went on a bit of a quest. We advertised here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a Malaysian bassist involved at one point who told us that he had no girlfriend or anyone he'd seen. On Facebook, about 3 months after he left the band, he married someone. So this is the scope. But eventually, we wound up with Bryce, who is the right drummer for the band. Chris, who is the right bassist for the band. Sam, who does a number of things, and myself and James, and that's how we formed, really. That's how it ended up. It took a while. We actually recorded 3 out of 5 for the EP with Chris engineering, Chris expressing interest, and we went from there, really. We just sort of auditioned a couple of people, and it wasn't, with the greatest respect to those people, it didn't sit as well as when Chris joined in. He just understands it, and we live together now, so we get on well as
best
people.
Friends.
We're super friends.
Some would say life partners.
I was going to say, are there any more suspicious marriages? Or
well, me
we
and
have
Bryce.
Been. I've been caught in it.
I just weighed him. He's got to ask first.
Yeah, well, I'll try.
He's on the edge of the precipice.
So you're, for the most part, from Leeds as a band. We've seen you a few times in Manchester, because that's where we're based. What's the scene like up in Leeds?
To be honest, the scene in Leeds, it's highly commendable and recommended for anyone, really. Like, we you know, the gig we played tonight that you've come down to is with Post War Glamour Girls, and I'm a huge fan of that band, but we actually travelled down here in a van with them. They agreed to, you know, split the costs. And that's right across the board. They're friends with Battle Lions, who also played our EP launch, who were just really nice guys and girl on both fronts, it must be said. But it's a really integrated scene. You know, people like a band like Autobahn, who are quite an abrasive sort of noise rock band, are just really nice guys who get on well with people, and that's just across the board. Us and Postwar don't really share massively, you know, there's massive polarities between bands, but they appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate what they're doing, and that's sort of around the Leeds area, what is going on. People who are in a really heavy fucking band will also be into something that's really thoughtful and quite pensive and you know, melodic, so to speak.
There's a lot of different things going on. Like, there's quite a big rockabilly scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's like post rock. There's indie. There's noise rock. There's loads of stuff going on. Just
But none of there's no exclusivity to it, which is something that I massively appreciate.
Apart from metal.
Yeah.
Metal's
a game of its own.
Metal segregates itself to a point, but even then, when you talk about that, Ben from Iger is someone who's been to about four or five of our gigs, and he's in a doom metal band, like a proper stoner doom metal band, and he likes what we do, and I really like what he does. Mm. So, you know, I go down to his gigs, so he goes down to ours. It's a lot different. Maybe I'm speaking in a tone that sounds like I probably don't know other scenes as well, but I would say that when I've been down to London, it seems like there's brackets, there's boundaries there, and people don't appreciate as much what other people are doing artistically when it's not something that interests them naturally. So I think it's very close-knit is what I would say of Leeds. And on a positive note, it's everyone sort of supports one another. It's not a bitchy sort of thing. If you're doing something that someone likes, it doesn't matter what their band is. They'll go, "Oh, let's support us." Perfect example, in fact. Sorry to blather on, but a perfect example is we're supporting next Thursday a band called Drive By Night, who were completely nothing at all. There's no similarities.
Nothing like us.
100% nothing like us. But because Reese is such a good guy, Joe Cox, who drums, is such a good guy that we get on really well with, they asked us and we said, yeah, because it genuinely doesn't matter in Leeds. People will go to a gig and see three completely different bands and not go, "Oh, that was a stupid idea." They want to see a variety. They don't want to see three really fucking heavy bands, most people, you know. There's dance music and stuff that permeates rock over there. It's cool. It's a really cool place to be. Seems to have a good atmosphere at the moment, personally.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a really good badge for Leeds.
Yeah, I wear it with
pride. Are you on the tourist board?
Or? I am actually just about to sign a contract for Leeds tourist board.
You mentioned your EP before. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a 5-track. It's called Unfold. The title track is actually not on there. But, you know, we're contrary buggers like that. We worked, it's fair to say, quite hard on that. And it's sort of in a position that we're fairly happy with, really. It was on our own terms. We didn't have any qualms about completely doing it our own way. You know, if anything, Grant Henderson, who was quite heavily involved, we used his studio, Loom Studio. He let us expand on ideas rather than, in many places, we've got a time limit here, you know, get that guitar part should be written. He let us just go ahead and expand on things, and he actually stopped us on a number of occasions and said, "You're pursuing something I don't think is right," in a non-intrusive way. There's so many producers out there that who will just brick wall you. They'll say, "That guitar tone's stupid, turn it off." That's literally what happened. I've had it happen to me. Whereas Grant will go, "Okay, I see what you're going for, but I think if you dialed that back and that back and just hear me out on this one, just sit there and play the same thing again." And you would sit there and he'd have dialed back the things he said and you go, "Oh, actually, that's a much, much better idea."
He's calling now.
It's Grant, right? Yeah, it's Grant.
He's one of those guys where he makes you just feel relaxed. You get into the studio and he's cracking jokes. He's doing stuff like that. So it just made us, it made the guys, because I'd worked with him before I even met the guys.
Well,
it just made the guys feel all comfortable, like they could, you know, do what they needed to do.
He just let us express ourselves. And if he felt that it wasn't suitable, he would do so in a dignified way. There's a very unceremonious thing about producers where they will either literally think they're Steve Albini and just let you do a terrible shit on a record and go, "Hey, well, I just record it." And then there's the other kind of producer that'll go, well, I'm in charge, I'm the producer, I'll say that guitar sounds wrong and I'm going to change it completely and I'm going to veto your ideas. Grant sits perfectly in the middle and he just let us get on with it. And the whole EP recording thing was hugely influential in us getting to where we are now and hopefully getting to where we would like to be, because without that, we wouldn't have met Chris. And Chris is pivotal in us as a band because he mediates between people on a level that we didn't have before. We've got to a stage, it's interesting that you interview us now, because we've got to a stage, I feel, where we're understanding one another better and we're on the cusp of realising fully who we are as a band, because of a lot to do with Chris. You know, he actually is capable of standing in the middle of two people arguing over a part of a song and saying, well, actually, it is a good idea, but what you're saying is right, and what we need to do is this. And then when we actually pursue it, 9 times out of 10, it works out much, much better than it was initially.
I'll agree with that. That
genuinely is true, though, that it really is, because before that, we would have a scenario where, I'll simplify, I would write a song, I would record it, and I'd have all of the guitar parts, all the bass parts, and I'd program the drums. And I'd go, this is a song, let's play this song. And some people go, oh, I'm not into that. And then it'd just be just put to one side and stolen from a car park in Manchester on a laptop. or it'd be accepted and played in a small venue in Manchester to people in 6-4 time usually. It's developed from that as a result of Chris being involved, because there's a buffer there where people understand one another.
You can just say it's Chris's EP if you want.
Essentially, Chris wrote it all.
Yeah.
We are where all of our lives and existence, Chris.
Yeah, other people's Chris's.
The genuine truth is that Bryce just scats all of it. He just goes, scooby-dooby-bamba, whatever, and then we go, yeah, that's the song.
Hey, it's a writing process, man. It's a way of life. You got to live the scat.
So you said pretty much like you're starting to feel like as a whole, as a band, obviously owing to Chris as well. What have you got on the horizon?
Sorry for rambling. It's fair to say that Simon has bought a 24 crate of Orangey Boom, which we've consumed the majority of, and most of, I'd say 12 Carl in between us at this juncture. But I'd say that what we're going on to now is sort of the realisation of what we're after, because there is a pop element, there's a catchy element, but we genuinely, I feel, share on varied levels an appreciation of post-rock, and that semi-permeates what we do. There's peaks and troughs, there's bits that are instrumental where people in a popular music in sort of structure would go, oh, that should be the second verse, but we don't look at it that way because of the music that we listen to. And I'm very happy with that, because I don't want to comply to a standard convention, because that's just been done to death. Like, singing standard love songs, that's just stupid. That's been done to death. It's dead. You know, you have to look for another thing. And, I wouldn't want it any other way. I feel we're pursuing something much more worthwhile now. I think we're a good 18 months away from it, but that's being honest, you know. Yeah. I feel like if we were to get our heads down and say this is something we're committed to, we could actually develop into something quite interesting, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking to develop ourselves in a way that we get noticed and we get, you know, obviously more interviews and, you know, stuff in the media and
just build, you know, a profile. Just build
us.
We're nobodies now, so talking like this is very unusual for me. It's easier when you've had a lot to drink, but
I think we're just looking to bring up our profile really, and just kind of get out there and show people what we've got. You know, so definitely.
Mm. Yeah, I do feel like we've got a lot more to offer in the last two songs in our set. That's something that a number of people have come up to me after we've played and said that they were particularly strong. Unfold is, as I mentioned, the title track from our EP that wasn't included because it wasn't finished when we, you know, I didn't even show it to the guys when we finished the EP. We did it as an encore at our EP launch when it was completely instrumental and unfinished. It's nearly there now. We played it tonight. It's not. It's like 90% finished. But that's the sort of thing I personally would like to be playing. You know, it's got essentially everything that we hopefully are striving to be. Really, you know, it's a bit more considered. It's got heavy elements. It's got a lot of space, and I think that sums us up. Really, you know, we have held heavy elements, but we do consider the room that you can, you know, involve yourself in as musicians. You know, we've allowed that room, and I think, especially coming from Leeds, without any par intended, there's quite a lot of bands that smash the distortion on at the moment and just smash through songs in Leeds. And while I'm cool with that and I thoroughly enjoy it, I think that post-war glamour girls are another example of that, that the people who are thinking a bit more about the space in a song have a bigger impact when they do that heavier side. And I think we're sort of treading that tightrope, hopefully, especially in future.
Yeah. It's all kind of leading up to the second EP, really, isn't it? We're just compiling what we're doing and trying to find out where we're going to put things, how they're going to work, and what we're going to do with it, basically. Mm.
I think essentially we're inside some kind of contraption that we're not entirely sure how to drive yet. And we're just pulling all the levers and seeing which one does what. Unfortunately, sometimes we shoot some sort of laser beam at things and people go, "What the fuck is that?" And other times we get a little feather out and tickle them under the armpit and they're equally somewhat perturbed by that. But, yeah.
I suppose that's one way to look at it.
And that's a great soundbite. It was a pleasure to meet you guys. You guys killed it tonight. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it, buddy. Cheers.
Thank you.